For our reading this evening, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. I desire to read the entire chapter. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow in prayer to the Lord. In this chapter, we have the disciples coming to Jesus with a question. And we are similar in that sense that we are coming together to open the Word, to hear the words of Jesus Christ, because He's the source of the answers, the wisdom, the instruction that we need. And He's the best one to go to with life's questions. We may look at the question of the disciples and knowing how Jesus would answer, think, well, what were their motives? But it is something that mankind does seek for and long for. Greatness, advantage, opportunity. But Jesus has an answer for them that they might not have been expecting. And that happens a lot. Oftentimes, Jesus refused opportunities to be praised by men or to be exalted like a king on this earth. And here again, he refuses the idea of climbing to greatness from where we are. Because that's the shortcut. That's the easy way. Just take a few steps up and you'll be a little bit better. No, Jesus calls them to turn their attention downward in humility to a little child and uses that child as an example. Tells them, except ye be converted, Unless you change your ways and change your mind and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven, much less be the greatest. This is the requirement for entry. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And this is the opposite of what man wants to hear. That he has to go down in his own estimation and in the estimation of the others of others who are looking upon him. It would be so much more pleasant if I could just be where I am right now and just take a step up and improve and always look better and better. But Jesus' counsel is the opposite of man's wisdom, and it would seem like foolishness. It would seem like the direction is turned on its head. So we shouldn't be surprised when the world thinks that those who follow Jesus Christ are a little bit strange or a little bit different. Sometimes we're afraid of being different. Sometimes we're afraid of being looked at a little bit lower. And so we compromise. And we don't follow Jesus Christ. And we hold back. But Jesus' commands and his instructions are not intuitive. They're not the ways of the world. They're going against the order of the kingdoms of this world that say you need to dominate, you need to be greatest, you need to push others down. No, he says, you take a step down. You humble yourself as a little child. And why should that surprise us? You think of the great men of faith. Think of Abraham. He was called from the civilizations of the East into the land of Canaan, a place where he didn't know and he was a stranger. He was a nobody. Think of Moses. He was born into the and sent to the house of Pharaoh and raised up there. But then he went to the wilderness and was a shepherd. And there is where he was prepared to be a prophet and the one that would extend that covenant to the nation of Israel from God. Or Daniel. He was a man that was in Judah or Israel, and he was taken as a captive. And then he became a great servant and beloved of the Lord. Or Job. We know the trials that Job went through. What a testimony of faith he teaches us. Why does it surprise us that the way up is down? The New Testament even commands, humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. The world's way of becoming great and elevated has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with yourself and what you can do. But the believer's understanding of progress in the faith and in the kingdom of God is reliant upon the gift of God and the goodness of God and the presence of God and his help. And he's able to work with a humble heart, one who recognizes their need for our Savior Jesus Christ, our daily need for God's help. And so when we consider that God is the one who is providing the blessing to our faith and advancement in the kingdom of God, then it does make sense to be in a position where God can work with us, God can teach us, God can be glorified, and that we would not receive the attention, then that makes sense. That the way forward is to take a step down, to be a servant, to humble ourselves before our Maker. When we read about the heart of God that is expressed in this chapter, it is humbling. Because Jesus expresses the thoughts of God and the heart of God towards these little ones. That he does not desire any of them to perish. He has a tender and compassionate love and thoughts towards each and every one of you and me. He describes his love and his care like a shepherd that has 100 sheep and one of them is lost. The shepherd usually is someone who loves an animal, who loves to take care of them, loves to spend time with them, who's interested in their health and their well-being. And when they're hurting or when they're lost, it touches them. They care. It's not like somebody who works in another field that works with inanimate objects that couldn't care less about an animal. No, the shepherd, that's his business. That's his life. And some of you like animals and you care for them. You are affectionate with them. You give them your time. You want to make their life as easy and as blessed and comfortable as you can. And you can understand that sense of loss. Not everybody has animals. Some have a family that they care for and children. And you can imagine and you can picture this idea of God's children. And how it grieves the Father when one is lost and straying. When one is rebelling and drifting. Parents spend much time in prayer. And in this parable of the lost sheep, Lord Jesus speaks about the Father as a shepherd who goes out and seeks. Rather, that the Son of Man is come to save and seek that which is lost. And that he goes and makes the effort. He goes into the place that's inconvenient and out of the way and seeks the one that's gone astray. There's a tenderness to God's love that Jesus is expressing in this parable. And there's a reason why he wants to let the disciples know this and let us know this. The disciples were asking oftentimes who's going to be the greatest. They were enamored with themselves and how other people saw them. But when we realize how God sees us and his pity and compassion towards us, and we think about the greatness of God and how he has more important things to do than to worry about unworthy humans. That he would take the time to count each hair on your head and care about the insignificant things, things that are insignificant to others. that he has that sort of tender love towards you. And then when you look to your left and look to your right, everyone that you see, he has that same tender love and care for. And he's teaching us these things to change us, to humble us, to make us think less about ourselves and our own advancement, but what it means to promote the kingdom of God and his rule and his character and his reign. He speaks about restoring relationships. He speaks about forgiveness. This can only come from a heart that's touched by the tender love of God and has received his precious gift. And that's where Jesus wants his disciples' eyes to be focused. God is the one who's giving. God is the one who's gracious. God is the one who's providing Jesus Christ as Savior, as Master and Lord for these disciples. And that is the greatest. That is the greatest blessing. We'll never pass that up. We'll never exceed that. We need to remember and keep those first things first. And then all of the other things will fall into line. When God's love and his favor that he has shown me is seen in stark contrast to how much I owe him and how unworthy I am, I see how unfair this is to God. And I'm grateful that the Lord is willing to give. And a heart of gratefulness, a heart of gratefulness is a heart that has plenty. A heart that has plenty to give, that wants to be reconciled, that wants to be restored, that wants relationships to be healed and healthy, because that's what the Lord has provided for us. The world would teach a very different sort of idea. The idea that, well, there's so many offenses, and people have hurt me so bad, and I'm such a victim, and I deserve pity, and somebody owes it to me. Well, that's not the case. That's another extreme of self-centeredness. You have the self-centeredness of the disciples that say, well, I want to be the greatest, so let's see how I can get the attention focused on me. And the other one says, I'm worthless, I'm nothing, I'm just a victim, but look at me. Look at my victimhood. Look at me, and don't I deserve pity? And don't I deserve people's attention? And to receive something. The focus is still on self. Whether we think we belong in the highest of heights of greatness or we're pitifully low, the focus is still on self instead of on the love of God and what Jesus Christ and his cross has made it possible that the love of God and in its highness and its purity and its beauty could reach down to the lowness of my unworthiness and to bridge the gap and to provide me forgiveness for my sins and offer you forgiveness of your sins as well. This is a precious gift. It's a pearl of great price. And Jesus wants us to remember what great price was given for us to be forgiven. There's a beautiful story that Jesus tells. This parable of the servant and the king at the end of this chapter. This first servant owed him 10,000 talents, which is a huge sum. Could never pay it in a lifetime of work. But he had nothing. It was a complete waste. Whatever he had done with what was entrusted to him was completely lost. So the command comes down. Here's the price. Your life, the life of your spouse, the life of your children, and all the future and potential that you have, and everything that you possess, is going to be taken away, and that's how it's going to be paid. The servant falls down and pleads for mercy, saying, "Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." The Lord of that servant truly realized the depth of this debt that was owed. And rather than demanding payment, he was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He forgave, and a payment was made. The Lord took the loss for this servant's error, the servant's irresponsibility, and the waste that he had made of these resources. Forgiveness costs somebody. And that's why it's so hard. That's why it's difficult to extend. But this Lord of the servant, he shows a willingness and a heart that's able to be moved with compassion. And he takes the loss. He loosed him. He says, "You owe me all this, but I'm not going to demand it of you anymore." What a relief. What a relief this servant must have felt. To have all of his own self and his future at risk and to be spared. What a merciful Lord. What kindness. But the story continues, and it doesn't go well for this servant. He goes out and he finds one of his fellow servants that owed him a small amount, 100 pence. Something that could perhaps easily be paid back. Or at least it would be reasonable that he could do that. And this servant lays hands on him and takes him by the throat. You can just imagine him holding him by the neck and just shaking this man. "Pay me that thou owest," and demanding this small debt to be paid. Well, this fellow servant falls down at his feet and asks him the same thing, "Have patience with me and I will pay thee all." And you would think that this would trigger a memory about what it was like when he was in the same situation and pleading for mercy and asking for patience. But he forgot. And his heart was not moved with compassion. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Word comes back to the Lord. through the other servants who felt compassion and sorrow for what had taken place. And the Lord holds this first servant to account. And he calls him a wicked servant. And he reminds him, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. And then there was an expectation that in the presence of such tender love and compassion, and having received such a good gift, that that should be extended and have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And so that original debt was restored. It would have been worthwhile for this servant to take the loss of the 100 pence from his fellow servant. All of the things that the servant had were the Lord's. And so the Lord had every right to demand payment. But this servant, in his debt from one servant to another, it's a small matter. And it ended up, it would have been better if he had shown compassion. And so Jesus ends this parable saying, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Every wrong, every offense, every violation, to extend forgiveness. There's a passage in, I believe, 2 Peter that speaks to us as servants of the Lord and who are called, having received a great deliverance of the debt of that our sin has caused from the Lord. He was moved with compassion and loosed us and forgave the debt because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And we are called to exercise the same love and character that Jesus Christ showed to us in his death on the cross and his resurrection. That we would deny ourselves and our thoughts of worthiness or our claims to greatness. Give up our lives and humble ourselves. And take losses from our fellow servants even. One thing that the Word says that can encourage us and help us in not forgetting about the compassion and the great forgiveness that has been extended to us is in 2 Peter chapter 1, where he tells us to be active in our faith. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. When we come together to hear the word, we come to hear Jesus and his instruction, his guidance, and for him to answer the questions that we have in our life. He calls us to follow in his footsteps and to take up the cross. and to be active in our faith that we would not forget that we were purged from our old sins and the great cost that was paid for our forgiveness and salvation. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May the Lord's name be praised and thanked for his grace and kindness that he's shown unto us. And may he bless his word unto each and every one of our hearts. Amen.
You know, we can see in this chapter, there are two things, humbleness and forgiveness. And this is what I believe that the Lord was trying to teach us in the parables that he used, and how important it is in our Christian walk of life to be humble and to be forgiving. And you know, sometimes, as he mentioned here, like as being a little child, I know I've seen little children, they get into a little scrap, they're fighting and arguing. A few minutes later, they're back playing with each other like nothing ever happened. That's the way God wants us to be, just as little children, forgiving and humble ourselves. And I believe that's what the message was all about tonight, that we would heed to God's teaching, the Lord's teaching, to humble ourselves and to forgive one another. May God bless these words upon our hearts.